Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What is
up? Hello,
bro.
How's everybody today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I could be doing so much better.
Why?
I turned down an opportunity today that I don't know that I've ever had before. And
it was a true opportunity, and you said no.
It was a raw opportunity, and I had to turn it down because I was coming to work.
Mm. And Isaac would have said yes, of course.
And I thought it may have been inappropriate. I was offered crack cocaine.
Yes. Wow.
Now.
All right.
I need a qualifier here.
Why'd you say no?
Well, I was going to work. And
why'd you say no?
Yeah.
It was in, again, I'm going to put a qualifier here. I believe it to be crack cocaine. It was in what appeared to be a crack pipe. And I'm not so certain that the person offering me said crack cocaine may be the cleanest person around.
God, Jeff Austin, man, something's really going on with him.
I know. Didn't have any, I needed like one of those bleach wipes or some hand sanitizer to wipe down the crack pipe, you know, with COVID and everything.
Yeah, right.
That Delta variant out there. To me, if I'm going to share a crack pipe, I need some sort of protection, you know, maybe like a bleach or a UV light, you know, because it gets into your system and cleans it all out. But it was a nice little interaction. I was getting my bike tire fixed.
Okay.
And so I took it off the bike and I took it into the bike shop. Right. And they say, give us 30 minutes because they couldn't get to it right away. Exchanging a tire takes like, you know, 30 seconds for them. But there were a couple people in front of me. Because I don't know if you've noticed, everyone is experiencing a high volume of calls and customers right now. Any place you go, everyone's swamped.
Because no one wants to work.
It's the weirdest thing. You can call any business in the world, any business, and you just get the message. We're experiencing a high volume of calls. Please leave a message.
Now, do you get as pissed as you used to, or do you just go, well, you know, it's unusual times.
At this point, though, I'm beginning to think it's a scam. And that people aren't that busy. They're just using this as an excuse to not have to answer your call.
That's probably true.
Yeah. I had an ant problem I called on. I called for 3 days, couldn't get a hold of anyone. God. And then they would call me back during the show. Anywho. So I got like a half hour to kill, right? So
I do think entities are not calling back when they could.
Exactly.
They could way earlier, but they don't because they know they can get away with it.
Exactly. What am I going to do? Say that you're not experiencing a high volume of calls? Now, to be fair, again, in the bike shop, it did not appear that there were a lot of people there, but apparently they were very busy. So maybe people were dropping stuff off.
I feel like in a bike shop, there's a lot going on in the back.
Yeah.
Because they're fixing things.
It's probably true. It's more of a backstage sort of thing.
It's like an auto repair shop.
Yeah. You don't know what's happening.
There's a lot going on back there.
Sure.
Drills, sounds. And
I thought 30 minutes was fine. Right? I was like, I got 30 minutes. No big deal.
They're just standing there with a drill, holding it just to make the sounds.
Hey, they're in here now. Make some noises. It'll be fine. So I head out to the streets, figuring I got a half hour to kill. And what do I find like two blocks down but a lovely taco stand?
Okay, tacos. All right, let's go. Tires and tacos.
Tires
let's go.
And tacos.
Let's go.
And crack.
Well, at this point, no. At this point, all I have is tires, but then I'm like, ooh, tacos. So I order myself two tacos.
Wait, where exactly are you in town?
It's over like off of Division.
Oh, perfect.
So I'm like,
crack cocaine can't be too far away.
No, I figure, right? It's in my wheelhouse. Maybe something more sexual. I don't know. It feels like it's that kind of neighborhood. I don't know what's going down. So I grab myself two tacos and an especial. So it's a good little sunny day, right? Got myself a beverage. Got myself two tacos, and the taco place has some music playing. You know, some nice Latin music. So there's a little rhythm going to it. So now I got the sunnies on. It's nice outside. I'm feeling pretty good. So I house one of the tacos immediately. That's just like, boom. Chorizo, by the way, delicious.
Easy to do.
Yeah, just down. So now I've got a carne asada taco. We got one taco left. I got my especial. And so now I'm like, well, I'll start heading back kind of towards the bike store as I eat and do a little eat and walk. So I'm cruising, and I get right to the intersection there, and I got the not a good time to cross little hand signal. The, hey, stay right here. So I'm kind of staying there, and I'm doing like that little white man shuffle hip sway thing. Got my taco, got my beverage. So I take a bite of the taco, and what do I see right to the side of me? Again, I made eye contact, which, you know, person, again, don't want to make any judgments.
Mel Gibson.
Appears to be a homeless individual. Can't say for certain, but there were a lot of signs.
So Mel Gibson?
That this person was indeed, I don't know about anti-Semitic, but definitely had a homeless sort of vibe about her. Yeah.
Oh, the drills.
Drills are back. So I made the eye contact. And so I got a taco in one hand, beer in the other. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but like when you make eye contact, do you ever do like that? You raise your whatever in your, like you raise the beverage.
Yeah.
Kind of like a, hey,
like a head nod.
Yeah. Like a head nod. But with the taco and the beverage, she kind of did one of these like, hey, well, what did they hey back? What was in her hand, which appeared to be a crack pipe.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was some sort of drug paraphernalia.
No.
It did appear to be.
Did you get a picture?
I did not get a picture. Again, hands are a little full, but
I don't know what a crack pipe looks like. I can imagine, but
it's like the glass, the glass pipe with the circle on the bottom. That's all burned from the fire.
Okay, here's how little I know about drugs. What is the difference? Do people still use like wannies, like marijuana pipes?
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
People still use those.
Do those look like crack pipes?
No. This
How do you know that?
This did not. A weed pipe is just like the, this has like the ball on the end of it, and it's all black and brown.
Yeah. Because of the fire, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I've seen that on, what's that show?
Intervention.
Yes.
Sure.
Great call.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's where I've seen that. Okay, so, yeah.
I got you. Again, maybe there was something else into it. I'm going to assume crack pipe.
Yeah.
Had a very distinct crack pipey look about it.
I suppose, couldn't that have been like meth too?
Yeah, whatever.
Do you smoke anything in a crack pipe, right?
I don't know.
Can you?
I'm going off of like,
heroin?
I saw The Wire once. I don't know. I'll tell you what, it certainly had a, whatever is about to go down here, not good for the tummy. I don't think this is going to help me. Especially with, you know, look, I got to go to work.
How do you know?
You catch me on a weekend.
For the tummy?
Yeah, or whatever else. I'm guessing it's not going to be good for you. Maybe
I would say the brain might be the first thing it might not be good
right.
for.
Maybe the esophagus. I don't know. Maybe it gives you the trots. Couldn't tell you. But to her credit, as I raised the beer and the taco in a, hey, because it's a great day. We got the music playing, the sun shining. She raised the pipe.
Yeah.
Right back at me.
Cheers.
And that kind of got a little chuckle out of me. I kind of did the one of these numbers, and she followed up with this. You going to eat that taco? Completely threw me off my game. And I was like, well.
That wouldn't have been the question I expected.
No, me neither. I was like, well, I already had one. And then she followed that up with.
You going to eat that stapler? Want to split it?
She followed that up with, can I have that taco? And in that moment, I don't know if I got caught up in the sunshine and the music or if she just threw me off. I gave her my taco. And to be honest with you, the one was kind of filling and I really didn't need the second one. So I gave her the taco. I was like, here. And what did she do in response in a in a goodwill sort of gesture, as she took the taco, offered me a hit of the pipe.
All right. And so how is it?
Gave her one of these.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, at that point, I got the free hand.
You're like, I'm good.
I've removed the taco.
Had some earlier.
Yeah, and I gave an audible kind of chuckle and just kind of raised the hand and then just took my beverage. And
she was like, all right, yeah, all right, if you say so. Offering you free crack.
It's the best interaction I've had with anyone in months.
Nice lady.
It was one. She, you know what? She really was. She really was quite nice. And I appreciated that even though she was a little aggressive, she didn't demand the taco. She asked, are you going to eat that taco? And when I didn't really respond to that, she followed it up with, can I have the taco? You know what? You can. This taco, it's going to be for you. And she could have been selfish. She could have taken the taco and just nothing. No, she offered me what she had to offer. Now, I wasn't as interested in what she had versus what I had. But, you know, honestly, had we exchanged goods, Wouldn't I have gotten the better of the deal?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Like a taco for.
Well, although you're only getting one.
Yeah, I don't
one
know
hit.
One whatever that.
So it's probably fair. Does meth?
Well, if you take one hit, maybe you're gonna want to take many more.
That's true.
In the future.
So in other words, it's very costly for you.
Yeah, I don't know. As I was walking away, my mind's racing, and I did think about that. I was like, was that a fair trade? Am I getting the better end of this? I don't know.
She's probably like, yes. Totally unfair.
Yeah.
Do you get the munchies on the meth and the crack?
I would assume, right? Because it's like a...
Ooh, we have a lot of drug bros that are in.
It's an upper? Oh, what's the drug bros saying?
They're saying that the glass with the ball is a meth pipe.
Oh.
Thick straw like glass would be a crack pipe.
Okay, So I was not offered...
Like straw colored?
No, like straw, like straw thickness, you know?
So I was not offered crack.
You were offered meth.
I was offered meth.
I feel like you were. I feel like you... Well, I feel like... I mean, what's more common? Like, if I go out on the streets and I want to party, what's more common? Meth is more common than crack.
I think, right?
Right?
Now, to be fair, I'm not in that game. I don't know. You?
No.
These are not my circles.
I can definitively say I am not.
Yeah,
I know nothing.
I don't either.
Fascinating, though.
Yeah.
Sad as well.
Yeah. She seemed quite
happy. The texts say absolutely no munchies.
No?
No.
Oh. Then why did
she... You don't eat or sleep.
Then why did she want the taco?
Probably because she's homeless and hasn't eaten in days.
Yeah. She had a decent pair of sweatpants on.
No. That was not what I thought you were going to say. Huh?
It's like the
she had a decent pair of what?
Sweatpants.
Oh.
Well, everything else was pretty disheveled, but the sweatpants kind of seemed almost new. Like judging by the top and the shoes and like everything, like all that was like very, very homeless. But the sweatpants kind of said, I went over to Bi-Mart and got myself a pair of like nice Champion sweats. It was a little weird.
Was she itchy? Why do you get the itchies? Another question.
Yeah, that's why they pick at their skin.
About drugs.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why is that? And at what point into addiction do you get that?
Again, couldn't tell you.
When do I get the death eyes? And start looking like, wow,
yeah,
Rob's really.
I've seen some of those interventions. You know? And then they get like the black fingers, right? They get all the...
Yeah.
And then everything you touch has the little... fingerprints.
How long would I have to smoke? I have so much questions.
You're asking the wrong guy. I can go back and see if she's willing. Like, hey, remember I'm that guy that gave you that taco? You want to come on? And
we need some drug addicts.
Yeah.
We don't have any drug addicts at the station. I'm disappointed. Mm. How long would I have to smoke meth or crack before you knew it?
Ooh. You? I'm guessing.
By appearance. Early.
Oh, I'm guessing like
appearance.
2 to 3 months, maybe?
Oh, really?
Right?
I bet it's...
Is it like an instantaneous sort of thing?
I'm going to say a month.
Okay.
Or maybe even less than a month. I start smoking crack on the daily, or meth. You would notice in a month.
Well, probably like
I think you notice in like 2 weeks.
You get like a tooth that falls out or something.
Every day?
Or like open sores.
I don't know about
every day. You have scabs on your face and...
I wouldn't do it during the show, though.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not doing it during the show, that means you're going to be hankering for it during the show, and you're going to start scratching at yourself and twitching.
I do it at night.
Well, then I'd have to bring night, in, I'd have to bring in tacos for you. Well, anyway, that was my interaction today, and I was the first of its kind. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Man of the people, out and about.
Yeah.
Distributing tacos. Now, I'm not going to lie. Had she asked for the beverage, I probably would have said no to that. The beverage more valuable than the taco. Or if I'd only had one taco, like, I don't want to seem like a saint. If that had been my only taco, I would not have given up the taco.
Well, there aren't many people that are going to give her the taco anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Like, well, I guess, well, I don't know. That's not necessarily true. A lot of people give food instead of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she was homeless.
She did not ask for money. She just asked for the taco. And I really didn't need the second taco. I was quite full.
You ever give your leftovers to the guy sitting on the street there?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, done that before.
Yeah. And that's kind of what
feel
this,
good about
that's
it.
Kind of what this was, right? I mean, it was a taco I would have consumed, but it was essentially a leftover taco.
Couple
One
of,
was fine.
Couple of answers here.
Yeah, what do you got?
Somebody said that they would know, you guys would know in 2 days when my mouth looks like Bobby Brown. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. Is that racist? Is that,
I feel like that might be racist.
I'm not certain what that means, but, it's like when I used, what was it? I used the term the other day, that made you guys very uncomfortable. Oh, mook.
Don't say that.
It is not a racial. Please, stop. It is not a racial term in any way. But instantly, you think it is, and you get uncomfortable. That's what I think about that.
It sounds it.
When you said your mouth looks like Bobby Brown, I don't know what that means, but I'm uncomfortable.
I don't know that I should have read that.
This one says 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
This one says you could tell after a week or so you would lose like 15 pounds in 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
And you'd be like, Rob, what are you on?
15 pounds in 3 days.
You on a diet?
Would we be like, Rob, you look fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, and you're like scratching at your neck. Thanks, guys.
Like, this is amazing. What do you want? Found a new weight loss pill. Meth.
Well, you know what they say. You're always one big stomach bug from your ideal weight, right?
That's true. Like, if you get we've all had this before where you get like a bad case of the flu and you spend like 72 hours just praying to the porcelain gods. You wake up like on that Monday ready to go to work. You take a shower. You get out. You're like, I look great.
Look at me.
Last time I had the stomach flu, I lost like 10 pounds. I was like, fantastic.
You're like, look at this.
It is weird. Like when you watch Survivor. Yeah. You ever watch that show? Or those Naked and Afraid?
Oh, they.
And they lose all the weight. And then you actually, you start to think they look pretty good.
Yes.
Like, wow, you look good. And then, but they're not. They're malnutritioned and everything. But then you see them like the follow-up where they've gone back into society.
Yeah, they look terrible.
And they're fat.
Yes.
But they're not. But they look fat.
Yes. And you're like, you should have. It just goes to show you that, look, none of us need as much to.
Exactly.
I was more than, I should have given away both tacos, to be honest with
you. And the drink.
And the drink.
And had the meth.
Yes.
Then you would be slimmer.
Yeah. What if I came in not eating or not having drank the Modelo and the tacos? But instead did the meth, maybe someone would have been like, man, Sook.
Wow.
Hitting that gym, looking good. I'm like, thanks, guys. Weight's just kind of falling off.
Yeah, somebody else said the itchies come from drugs sweating out of your skin, and it really causes havoc on your skin.
Mm. God. Well, good thing then that I didn't. Just kind of kept going about my day.
The one story I have with this is it was on an airplane, and the guy in my row was sitting at the window seat, and as the flight went on, he continued to vigorously scratch his face and head. And all of a sudden, towards the end of the flight, like flakes of his skin were starting to float off into the plane.
No.
That did happen. It was in my row, and it was absolutely horrifying.
Dude, you got to get up and I'll go stand in the galley. I'll head back to the bar. I'll go back to the cart.
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm like, I'm not sitting back down.
Like, clearly, he was having an effect of not being on his drugs because he was on an airline.
That's so, ugh.
It was disgusting.
That's making my skin crawl right now just hearing you talk about that.
Luckily, I was in the aisle.
What a mook.
Exactly. Indeed.
Am I canceled for that?
No, it's a complete legit term.
You're both canceled.
All right. We should have that. We should start doing that. We should do drill sounds in the background of our show.
Make it sound busy.
Make it sound manly.
Yeah, we got something going on.
What do you think about that? New sound effects?
Instead of like the club where we got some ambiance behind there.
Man, where are they? They're always, it always sounds like they're in a You're in a garage.
Dusty.
Oh, what manly man.
It's just like a hammer going in the background.
Some power tools.
Maybe some staple, like the roofer guy. Yeah, like
the nailer.
A lawnmower in the background.
Yeah.
Not too loud, though. Okay.
What about like whale noises?
What?
Are they in the ocean right now?
The sounds of the whale.
We got dolphins cackling out there.
Animal nature noises. I found out the other day my car has nature sounds on it.
No.
I didn't know.
What like, do you mean? What does that mean?
You know when you pull up your like the little menu there, right? You got like radio, like, you know, the Bluetooth, whatever. It's the little punch screen on there for your entertainment.
Must be nice in your fancy car.
To the far right.
The Murano doesn't have that.
No, it does not.
To the far right.
Although your Murano's looking good. You got it washed. I
did get it washed.
Nice. Murano life, baby. To the far right hand side, I'd never noticed it before. There's just a little like icon that says sounds of nature. And you can click on it.
Really?
And then it, like you've got like 10 options where
birds chirping.
Yeah, there's like birds. There's a waterfall. There's a campfire.
Hey.
You just.
Ghosts?
Yeah. Well, I was being a cow, but.
Oh.
I said moo.
Moo. A haunted cow. I had no idea. But apparently you can turn on sounds of nature while you drive around in
I'm down with that.
In the car.
I'm down with it.
Didn't know it was an option.
Hey, should we start our broadcast?
Probably.
You guys want to start our broadcast today?
Yeah.
We are going to start. Oh, somebody just told me Jason Quick is at 3:30 today.
Oh, okay. But then we should.
He wrote a good article on The Athletic.
Yeah,
so
Yeah,
I saw it.
We're quite long.
It was good, but boy, is it. Did you read that?
I did.
It's not promising.
Yeah. No.
Oh, Jesus.
It's not sunshine and rainbow. Look, it's not all meth pipe and tacos, all right? There's some downside to this, too.
Otto Porter, baby. It is 3:22 on the fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. As always, it is at 1080thefan.com, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business, helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today, we are asking you, who is the next NBA star to break through and win a title? Several options for you. Damian Lillard is one of them. Donovan Mitchell, Nikola Jokic, Devin Booker, Joel Embiid, Luka Doncic, Zion Williamson.
None of those, by the way, are. I guess you Booker. I would probably go with simply because Phoenix. That's a team that's proven that they can be there. The rest of those are, I mean, I would say significantly far from it. Philadelphia.
Well, Utah was the number one seed.
Yeah, Utah was the one seed, but Utah.
Denver healthy is way up there.
They haven't necessarily made any sort of deep runs, though, and I think all those rosters all of a sudden have big question marks on them, including Philadelphia's. I would have said before.
That's the beauty of the question.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs and buts in there. I'd probably just say Phoenix. you know, for two games, Phoenix looked like the title was theirs, and then it kind of fell apart, and they ran into a buzzsaw those last four games in Milwaukee. But I'd say Phoenix, I mean, that's you get Chris Paul back, and, you know, you add another piece or two. I would assume that's a place that people would want to go to. And Phoenix, for the most part, outside of Chris Paul, is a very, very young core.
I say watch out for Denver and Jokic. I think Dallas would be up there because Doncic is so good, but it's going to take them some time to get their roster together, I think.
Yeah. Dallas, again, I'm not going to say it's the exact same thing as Portland, but, I mean, Dallas has one really, really good player and then a bunch of meh.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Denver, if they can stay healthy, legit.
Yeah, you got Murray. Porter continues to grow into it. I mean,
exactly.
And you've got an MVP
and
in Jokic.
And if Embiid could stay healthy, it might be an interesting offseason for them, but I don't trust him to stay healthy. Lillard, the Blazers, we're about to talk with Jason Quick about what they're planning on doing. And let me tell you something, it's uninspiring.
Well, could be roll it out again.
But then you have Mitchell, Utah. They're interesting, number one seed. But something tells me, like, I think if Denver's healthy, I think they beat Utah in a 7-game series.
Well, and Conley was hurt, and Mitchell got banged up too. So, you know, do we really get to say that we know what Utah is? Ooh. They were the number one seed, but certainly weren't healthy come playoff time.
We're also allowing a write-in vote for Jason Tatum if you'd like.
Sure.
So vote hard, 1080thefan.com. We'll talk more about this as it pertains to Giannis, the big championship parade. But up next is our Blazers insider, Jason Quick. He wrote a piece today kind of outlining the Blazers' path to getting better for Damian Lillard. And we will talk to him about that when we return. Here's Mike.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
If you've got time for just one source on the Trailblazers and the NBA, make it this one.
That was one of the more remarkable Dame finishes. I'm ready to call him the greatest Blazer of all time.
It's the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick. Brought to you on The Fan by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Download it today and turn on notifications to get special offers and up-to-date in-game action.
All right, the latest on Texas-Oklahoma possibly leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, that is coming up on our show. We shall discuss, but here is Mr. Quick. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey. So you wrote a thing today about the path forward for the Blazers in the offseason. CJ for lottery picks, you're hearing?
Yes, top four pick.
Ooh. So who would that – I'm trying to figure out who that would be. Maybe Toronto at number four?
Yeah, I don't know which team it was.
Okay.
So, you know, but that kind of shows the position that Portland is in, that while that seems intriguing, it doesn't fit their timeline and Dame's timeline and what he wants right now. They can't get a young guy and wait a couple of years for him to blossom. They need guys who can come in and play right away.
Yeah, it's like as you were kind of going through reading your piece today, you definitely get the sense that a fire has been lit and they understand what they're up against here.
Yeah, I think they've always have. You know, this isn't the first time Dame has gone to Neil and said, hey, we need to upgrade the roster. I mean, he did it last summer. He said, told him to go for it. And that's when Neil did a very rare thing and gave up two first-round draft picks to get Covington. They've heard this before. Dame's just been a little more vocal and a little more public about it this time around. But, yeah, they're in the same boat with him. They want to win, and they want to win big too. I think where the struggle comes is Dame is looking right now, this next season, and I think management is always looking down the road, and I think that's something that Neil will probably have to get over at some point, that I can't think 2 or 3 years down the road. I have to think in the immediate because, you know, the star player is unhappy.
So, Jason, the free agent, the draft is next week, and then free agency, like August 2 to 6, and we'll, and we, as we know from the past, that moves rather quickly. Lillard is in Tokyo. I'm curious about the timeline of all this. Do you think that by the time the Olympics are over and Team USA is back on the mainland here, that all of this is ironed out and what the Blazers are going to do to help Damian Lillard is all done? Or when he gets back, is there still time for him to, as he said, commit to what the Blazers are doing moving forward?
I think there'll be some kind of resolution by the time that he gets back from Tokyo, or certainly by mid-August. You know, they'll have their free agencies and trades and whatnot done. But, you know, an interesting thing about all of this is, and I'm wondering if this has gotten through to Dame yet, that if he does become unhappy enough to demand a trade, he has to look forward and realize that there are few, if zero, teams out there that have the assets to make a trade for Damian Lillard right now. If they, you know, if he wants to go to Miami, well, that's going to cost Jimmy Butler. It's going to cost Hero, Robinson maybe. And he's going to go there and have nothing to play with, you know, or he can go to Sacramento. They have got some young talent that could pair together. But by the time, whatever it takes to aggregate a trade to match Dame's ability and his salary, there's not going to be much left in those cupboards for him to work with. And he's going to be in the same position he was in Portland. So, you know, that's one aspect to this is, yeah, Portland's not a championship caliber roster right now, not even close. But, you know, they're working, they're trying. And I think he just has to look at what his other options would be and what goes into executing a trade of a player of his caliber.
Can I play devil's advocate? Because surface value, I agree with what you're saying, but we've seen guys force their way out. And when guys just say, I'm not coming back, this doesn't work. Yep. This isn't like the NFL where guys get held hostage. So whether it's James Harden, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Carmelo Anthony, I would make the argument that there's no such thing as a fair value that's ever been had for a player of this magnitude. So that would be my concern, is that if he really digs his heel in or heels and just says, no, I'm not doing this, I don't think you get fair value back. But every one of those circumstances that we've talked about, even Kawhi Leonard, who is a rental player, I'm not going to say it's pennies on the dollar, but it's 50 cents. And you kind of just end up taking the best deal, because I don't know the last time you had a star player in the NBA that was forced to be somewhere he didn't want to be.
Right. I mean, it's a good point. You know, and what's unique about Dame's scenario is most stars, when they have forced their way out, are 1, maybe 2 years left on their contract. Dame has 3 with a player option 4th. You know, so that is another aspect to enter into the equation. No star has done it this early. I mean, he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't demanded any kind of trade. But so I think they're hoping that that things will calm down. And because I still think, and I haven't talked to Dame in a couple weeks, but I think his heart is still in Portland. When he says that, I really believe him, that he doesn't want it to be this way. And you know, but Neil, this is an incredibly critical time for Neil Olshey and the organization as a whole. And again, I think Neil has to get over, and I think Neil would admit that in the past he has been conservative. He has, you know, turned down trades that would make them instantly better because it would strip them of draft picks or potentially leave them with a guy who came for 1 year or 2 years and then left them hanging. He has admitted that he has been conservative in that regard because he's always looked towards the future. I think now is the time where he has to just say, F it, and make this team significantly better right now.
But your article today, I mean, it doesn't leave fans with a lot of hope that that can be done. I mean, everything you put in there was like, who care? Like, who cares that they trade into the second round? Who cares that they go get Otto Porter? I mean, give me something or fans something that they can hang their hat on that something will get done that's actually significant and will move the needle.
Well, it's all going to depend on what CJ McCollum's trade value is out there in the NBA. And I don't know that the Blazers have a good handle for that right now. I don't think it's high enough to get Ben Simmons on a straight up trade. I think one of the main parts, I hope people get out of the article, and I know it depresses a lot of people, but they're still holding on to this belief that this core, the starting five, if Norm comes back, is among the best starting fives in the NBA. You know, it had the fourth best differential in the NBA last year. And that was without, you know, CJ for 25 games, Nurk for 35. That's not something I think a lot of people want to hear, but it's a reality. This was a good team when everyone was together. But still, it wasn't good enough to beat a depleted Nuggets team. And that, they think that they got outcoached in that series. So that Chauncey will address that.
All right. Jason Quick here, our Blazers insider, brought to you by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. On the previous subject of stars and it getting up, like if it gets ugly with a superstar in a franchise, I need to remind people that Jimmy Butler was dealt out of Minnesota and all they got was Robert Covington and Dario Saric. I mean, it's a dangerous game of chicken if you mess with these superstars. Yeah. And if it gets bad, you're talking about pennies on the dollar, which is why some suggest maybe even trading Damian Lillard now, which obviously is not something that the Blazers entertain. They seem very hard-headed on what they have going on. Let me ask you this. Neil Olshey has always made the case, and somewhat accurately, that Portland just can't get free agents.
From a couple years ago, we just recently heard the clips rolling around with him and Danny Ainge.
And he's always like, we always operate on the margins with free agency. And I get that. Portland is off the beaten path and NBA players, it's not a destination market. However, all the excuses that they have used, to me, don't hold a lot of water because other teams have overcome the same obstacles. I mean, they've managed to spin this into Portland is so uniquely bad. But my question to you, is it? I mean, I get that it's a small market, but so is Milwaukee, and they just won a title. So is San Antonio, they won five. So is Utah, who's the number one seed. So is Denver, whose future looks way brighter than Portland's. So is Oklahoma City, and all five of those have made big moves and taken big swings. Is Portland so much different, or is that BS?
It's the 12% income tax that really hurts them. You know, Florida, Texas, they don't have that. And when you're making $40, $50, $100 million, that's a big deal. And so, that is a factor that is against Portland. And it's not, I will remind you, it's not just this regime that has had trouble luring free agents. The Pritchard regime, even the Whitsitt regime. So I think there is something to that where guys are reluctant to come to Portland for lifestyle, weather, and the income tax aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a thing. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Is it that much worse?
It's just that Milwaukee signed. I mean, they got Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez as free agents. Charlotte just got freaking Hayward.
Middleton was a trade.
Oh, was he a trade? I thought he was a free agent.
Yeah. No, he came in the Brandon Jennings trade as a throw-in.
Okay. Spurs got Aldridge. Denver signed Millsap. I mean, I don't know. Yep. It does happen. It's just frustrating that.
Yeah, and I think they're trying, Isaac. You know, like last year, they tried for Serge Ibaka, they tried for Paul Millsap, and they tried for Marc Gasol, and all three of them chose another team.
And so that doesn't give me a lot of hope then for Norman Powell. Like, to me, this all hinges. I've said this for 2 months. This to me all hinges on Norman Powell. Because if Norman Powell signs, then you can move CJ. If Norman Powell doesn't resign, what the hell does moving CJ do?
Yeah, I agree. I think that is going to be a make or break aspect of this summer. And, you know, Norm sat down with Chauncey in Las Vegas. Norm lives there in the off season. They had a meeting after the Lillard meeting last week, and Chauncey kind of gave him his philosophy and how he would be used and what he sees out of this roster. And their hope is that, you know, Chauncey's kind of charisma and his background will inspire guys. And, you know, that's something that Terry Stotts just didn't have. He wasn't a motivator. He wasn't a uniter. He wasn't a guy who inspired a lot of these guys. So they're hoping that Chauncey has that kind of element that really connects with players because he was not only just a former player, but a standout former player. So I'll be interested, you know, one of these days to sit down with Norm and pick his brain on what Chauncey's message was and what it meant to him if he does sign with Portland.
Well, I'm assuming, too, you're having to sell Norman Powell on the fact that, just like Damian Lillard, you're selling Norman Powell on the fact that we can make this work here and that Lillard's going to stay and that he's not going to go anywhere, because I'm assuming that's probably a pretty big deal for Norman Powell of whether or not you're playing alongside Damian Lillard or you're in the middle of a rebuild.
Absolutely. All these free agents, you know, what am I coming to? Am I coming to a team with Damian Lillard or without Damian Lillard?
Do you buy the, you know, in your piece, you pointed out and you mentioned it, that the starting lineup being the fourth best, you know, when everyone's healthy, do you buy that? And is that a selling point? Can you, if you re-sign Norman Powell and you address your bench, can you really sell that to Damian Lillard that this group of Nurk, Covington, Norm, CJ, and Dame is the fourth best team and that that's a title contender?
Well, I don't think title contender, but you can sell it that it's a very good team. I mean, look, let's also not forget that Portland had the number one offense, or number two offense in the NBA, number one offense after Norm joined the team. Yeah. You know, there's
so that's, fire
that's
the
a
coach.
Pretty good thing. But it's at the defensive end. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the metrics of this team defensively. CJ, 88th percentile defensively. That blew me away. Nurk, 97th. Powell, 93rd. Covington, 78th. And yet, Stotts couldn't coordinate and game plan with that to get a competent defense out of these guys. So, you know, and that's another thing, too. Damian Lillard, 14th percentile in defense. I think that's something that Damian's going to have to look in the mirror and address as well.
You sound like an old Shea guy. Are you an old Shea guy now?
No, I don't think so. I'm not for or against him. I understand his struggles, and I've said this before. I think he's really smart, but I think he's made some really good moves and some really bad moves, and I think he's been snake bit with a lot of bad luck. I mean, the Zach Collins pick in retrospect was brutal for him. Not only because Zach got injured, but because of the talent that he passed on, the Donovan Mitchells, the Bam Adebayos, John Collins. That was a crippling draft for Neil Olshey and the Blazers.
All right. Where's Jody Allen on all this? Do we have any idea?
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. No insides on the Vulcans, huh?
No.
That's tough because... I don't know.
I mean, I do know that she's committed to paying the tax.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Yes. She's all in on that, and they will be over the tax, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, they're there with their four starters, with Nurk, Cove, Lillard, and McCollum. So, yeah, she's on board with that.
Will you be in touch at all with Lillard over in Tokyo at all, or is he just kind of off the radar until he comes back?
I don't know. I'm trying to give him a space. I'm kind of it's been a hard time, to be honest. Just I feel like our relationship's become strained a little bit. I feel like there's a lot being said and being caught in the middle, and it hasn't been an enjoyable process. So I'm trying to let things kind of die down a little bit before I start reaching out to him.
Do you think this is really weighing on him, this whole thing?
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
The idea of you know, he has been so pro, I want to do it here. You know, I'm here, I'm committed. And then all of a sudden feeling like maybe you have to break that promise for someone like that. That to me seems like something that would not be taken lightly and that would cause sleepless nights.
Well, and you just saw Giannis win it in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Too.
We were talking about that. I think that may be a good thing for Portland, that maybe that kind of recommits him to, hey, it can be done, or seeing what, you know, I think that hit him in the heart. I would assume.
Yeah. I think what the hardest part in all this, and you know, I can't relate to it because I'm 51, but I think what hurt him the most was the backlash he got on social media for backing Chauncey and Jason Kidd. And I think that's really the first time that he has been openly criticized, and Dame's a big social media guy. And I think it hit him hard, you know, as he said, you know, those are the people I play for. And he felt like there was an element of, or a portion of the fans who were turning on him, and that hurt him. And that was something new. And I think that played a role, a slice in kind of the unrest that he has been going through this summer.
Was there any hard feelings about how that all went down? I mean, the franchise couldn't have bungled it any worse, and they left him out to dry all weekend to answer those questions about Chauncey. So was he upset about that?
Yeah, I don't know if upset's the right word. I think he felt like he was out on an island. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, franchise did that to him too, but okay. All right. Well, let's just hope. Look, I think the bottom line here, man, I don't know. I want your bottom line. My bottom line is they are lucky that Damian Lillard is such a nice guy, because this could be going a lot worse. And it could be going a lot worse behind closed doors. We don't know. But what is your bottom line? Because to me, this guy is as good as gone. Everything I'm hearing, the Blazers don't really have anything they can do. What is your bottom line? What happens this offseason?
I think Dame plays with the Blazers next year. And I think Neil runs it back with the same starting five.
All right. So they get Powell.
And an improved bench. Yep.
Okay. So it's basically more of the same. And then I guess the follow-up to that would be, then what happens next offseason?
Well, then you got Nurk as a free agent, Covington as a free agent. Then, you know, then you can work a little bit. I think with you'll have a little either wiggle room or you know, you'll have a more of a body of work, especially with Nurk. Can he stay healthy? And more of a direction of where you want to go.
All right, you sound like you need a glass of wine. I want to buy you one.
No, I'm putting together a party for my wife. It's her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
And as a soup knows, he's coming over for it.
Absolutely. Rob's not invited. Rob's not invited.
No, you know my. He creeps my wife out. No, I'm kidding. No, so I've been running around a bunch trying to get this party together.
All right. Well, have fun. Party hard. Thank you.
Okay, guys. All right. We'll see you.
Bye. Bye. Oh, he gave us a, we'll see you. Kind of like that.
We'll see Sook.
We'll leave the light on for you.
I'd like to invite you, but it's.
When's the party?
It's a little awkward. And
tomorrow?
I can't tell you.
Tonight?
You know,
it sounds like it's tonight.
I'm going to go over there.
It's a little weird.
I know where he lives. I'm just going to show up.
Weird. I don't want to, like, if you do show up, then there's going to be an assumption that I told you about it and that we came together. And quite frankly, as an invited guest, I can't be seen with an uninvited guest.
Well, look, the only reason you're invited is because his wife is friends with your girlfriend. So let's not pretend like you and I would be over there in any other circumstance. All, except for the Super Bowl.
I would agree.
Which is always a good time.
I can neither confirm nor deny said reports of party or my participation. I don't know.
Do you think Olshay was sitting there like with a revolver to Quick's head the whole time?
Just over it. No, I just think he I think he sees his point of view.
Okay.
I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of what he says. I don't agree with all of it, but I think that there is a real point that can be made on that line of thinking. I don't buy that it's a good enough excuse, but I do think excuses are always viewed as these horrible things. But you can say what's another word for an excuse? It's an explanation. And I do think there is an explanation there that does make sense. And I think he buys it obviously a lot more than you do. But I don't think excuse is the right word. I think it's an explanation.
I think I was in the same boat as Quick last year in viewing Olshay and thinking, yeah, he's done a lot of good things, and yeah, he's messed up some stuff like most GMs do. But, you know, he hasn't done a terrible job as the Blazers GM. And then this season happened, and you just see the writing on the wall, and it's like, do something, and he's not going to. And that's where I was lost from that is Olshay needs to do something, and he's not going to.
Well, they just don't have much to do. Like he said, it all hinges on C.J. McCollum's trade value. You can get a top five pick for C.J. McCollum.
That's pretty good.
Could you go that route?
Well, I mean, you could, but you'd have to hit on a Ja Morant, type instant impact rookie. And, you know, I'd have to look at the top five. And so many of the top five nowadays are these, you know, 19-year-old kids that are developmental projects. And, I mean, I suppose you could, but you are betting your entire future on that kid hitting the ground running in the NBA and being an all-star player from day one. And that's a ballsy move.
I'm sticking to my guns. We're going to wake up one morning this summer and Damian Lillard has been traded.
I'm not there. I think this hinges. I'm a little bit more towards Quick side of, I think he sticks around for a year and then next year.
Then he's gone.
Oh, I just think all bets are off.
All bets are off now.
I...
You guys are so funny. All right, we got to take a break. 3:59 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, I was looking at, I was just trying to look up state income tax. And of course, you know, it's a little more complicated than just a flat number in every state.
Sure, and they've got...
Florida doesn't have income tax.
They're in a different tax bracket, I'm assuming, than you or I.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I pay like 9%, I believe, in the fine state of Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's highest is 9.9, so I don't know where he gets the 12% thing.
Maybe there's like an escalator if you make a certain amount or something.
Or perhaps you get taxed. I know playing
Washington has
states.
None. So yeah. Like somebody said, hey, move the team to Vancouver.
Yeah, come on over to Vancouver.
Wait, Seattle. Just, oh, no.
I tried getting our company to do that once. Like, could you just like bill me out of Intercom Seattle? Save me, you know, 9%. I was told no. So
you must make a lot of money.
What?
What? 9.9%. That's highest. That's the highest, bruh.
That's 9%.
That's the highest.
That's the highest?
You make a lot of dough, dude.
I think you pay 9% as well.
I don't pay 9%. I pay 2.
You pay 2%.
They give me breaks, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
They give me tax
You're like
breaks.
Bezos, right? You're launching penis rockets.
They're like, hey, you're the noted
taxes.
Newsman. We're going to cut your rate down by a lot.
I just kind of thought that state tax was in Oregon was kind of across the board.
So I'm looking here at other small markets, like Wisconsin, which would be Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, that gets up to 7.6. For these guys.
Okay.
Other small market. Well, Texas doesn't have any. So San Antonio. So that can't be used for like the San Antonio thing.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Actually, it's a feather in San Antonio. Like it's like when Aldridge goes to Texas, that was he's kind of going home.
Yeah.
He's going to a small market. In other words, the point being a small market team signed a big name free agent. but it helps them that they don't have any state income tax.
Yeah. But that's always been a case with Florida and Texas that get held up there.
Yeah, but they have large markets. I'm talking about small markets.
Small markets.
Because the Blazers love to try to tell us that Portland is just so different and so horrible. A lot of these markets are not desirable for NBA players. And then he came back with the tax rate, which, again, I don't know where he gets 12%, but it is high in Oregon. 9.9 is the highest. And then Oklahoma, for example, is only 5%. Like if they were to go to Oklahoma City, I know they signed Paul George a couple years ago. I'm trying to think of others. Oh, Denver. I was going to look at Colorado.
California's are through the roof.
But, very high. Yeah. You know, they'd pay over 13% there. But again, in Los Angeles,
there's so many
they're more than making that up. Colorado's 4.5%. So Oregon is, you know, in fairness, it is on the high end in terms of the income tax.
Well, then too, it's always been pointed out that really the only time you see anything in Portland as an NBA player is during the crappy parts, right? You're here during the winter time, and
well, that's true of Milwaukee.
It's pretty dreary. And then the other thing that I think hurts Portland is we don't have a vibrant nightlife. We're the whitest large city in America, and we're stuck in the left-hand corner. So unless you're from California and you like hopping a quick flight, it's a pain in the ass to get anywhere.
Yeah,
so,
like Milwaukee's like what, a 2-hour drive to Chicago or 1.5 hours? You know, so if you're bored in Milwaukee, go down to Chicago.
You're way more centrally located, whereas here, you know, you're kind of stuck. Seattle even gets this. You hear this about Seattle, right?
Well, we are way up here.
And Seattle is a major market, but you're in the upper left. So I'm with you. I think it's hard. I side with you that I do get bored of hearing the Neil Olshey. You know, it's hard. That's why you get paid a lot of money. I hate the excuse of it's hard. That one drives me crazy. Well, I understand it's hard, but it's a coveted job and you get paid a lot of money to figure out a way around it. So yes, that's a reality. There's my distinction between excuses and explanations. That to me is more of a excuse. Whereas some of the other stuff that I think is thrown out there about the challenges around this or, you know, job performance, I think that's more of an explanation.
I don't think any of it matters. You either get it done or you don't.
Sure.
Period. Yeah. It's a results-oriented business. He gets paid a lot of money.
Scares me that I hear
And you've
that
got your star player saying, I haven't really committed to... That tells you all you need to know. You haven't done a good job. So
scares the hell out of me, though, that there is a thought, and apparently a pretty good one, that you address a little bit of your bench and then roll back the starting five and say good enough. So, you know, I guess we asked the question way back when, does he really believe that this roster was not the problem? And it starting to appear that he really does believe that in his heart of hearts.
Well, he's got to believe it. It's self-preservation. You know, like he's not going to ever fall on the sword ever.
No, but there's a difference between, you know, kind of thinking something and then, you know, you say it publicly and then behind the scenes, you still make your moves and really having a unwavering belief in what you did, and this is going to be the way, and I'm sticking to it. And sounds like it may be the latter.
By the way, real quick, top four pick, as Quick was alluding to, C.J. McCollum. The Blazers were offered a top four pick in this draft for C.J. McCollum. Yeah. Those four teams are Detroit, number one, Houston, two, Cleveland, three, and Toronto, four. I would imagine it was maybe Toronto, but I don't know.
Otherwise, why wouldn't you say a top three pick?
Exactly.
You know,
Orlando's five, but if it's a top four pick, you're looking at Evan Mobley, the kid from USC. You're looking at maybe getting your hands on Jalen Suggs. If that interests you, Cade Cunningham's going to go number one. I can't imagine it was the number one pick.
No,
so it's probably Toronto's pick at four. And the mocks that I'm looking at are this Jalen Green guy.
Yeah. Remember that it's not going to be Cunningham.
He was the G League guy, right?
So you're talking about a kid out of high school, 1 year with the G League, Evan Mobley, who was a freshman, Suggs, who was a freshman, and the other kid, Jonathan Kuminga, who's also a G League one-and-done guy. So you're talking about 19-year-old kids. So not that they can't be talented, but it's a pretty ballsy move if you were to move on your second-best player and you replace him with a kid that's 19 years old and tell Damian Lillard that is going to be on the timeline. So pretty gutsy move if you were to go down that road.
All right, we got to go. A big trade in Major League Baseball today. One team just got a lot better. 410 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.